It's not rare. It's not proven. And they have a huge markup because they've commissioned salesmen. I have found the Uber of gold. This company, pre1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre1933.com is a wholesaler of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. All conservatives understand the hole America's in. We owe $20 trillion in debt. We all know gold is the answer. It's our insurance policy. But now you can buy your gold wholesale, just like dealers, without commission salesmen involved. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933. Or go to pre1933.com. You'll never buy gold from anyone else ever again.
Pennsylvania authorities say surveillance video of the fraternity house where a Penn State pledge died during a hazing earlier this year appears to have been deleted. 19-year-old Tim Piazza died at the Beta Theta Pi frat house. The binge drinking that led to his death happened on February 2nd. A detective says video recorded before the 6th of February has somehow disappeared. More than a dozen members of that frat are facing criminal charges. In New York City, a cop's life is saved by his vest. Here's Scott Pringle.
Police Commissioner James O'Neill says cops responded to a call of an emotionally disturbed man who barricaded himself inside a house on Ridgewood Avenue in Cypress Hills yesterday.
As the first officer approached the rear bedroom, the subject fired several shots,
hitting the officer twice in the chest and once in the arm.
This young man was definitely saved by his vest. Made all the difference.
Says Mayor de Blasio, the shooter took his own life. The officer expected to fully recover.
This is USA Radio News.
I have to get to sleep.
Tom had a stressful day, and now he can't shut down at bedtime.
Need sleep.
To fall asleep fast, millions of people turn to Unisom sleep gels. They're non-habit-forming and quickly help you sleep soundly so you wake recharged. Tom? Unisom sleep gels. A stressful day deserves a restful night. Use as directed. Active ingredient diphenhydramine hydrochloride.
The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives says it's the highest number of arrests made in a single case in that agency's history.
Today we are announcing the results of Operation Cold Day.
At least 89 people arrested this week in and around San Francisco, and more than 100 stolen guns were recovered as a two-year sting operation culminated. Brian Stretch is U.S. Attorney for Northern California.
An investigation that was coordinated by the ATF and involved the diverse and significant resources of the California Highway Patrol, the San Francisco Police Department, and other law enforcement agencies.
The operation also recovered dozens of stolen vehicles. The investigation came in response to a spike in auto thefts from the rental company Zipcar. It seems bomb shelters are selling fast, especially in California, amid the rising tensions between the U.S. and North Korea. Here's Jason Campidonia.
The owner of Atlas Survival in the Los Angeles area says ever since Trump started talking and tweeting about North Korea, he can't keep up with the demand for his bomb NATO survival shelters. Most orders usually come online, but now people are driving to the Montebello facility to see what he's got in stock. He says he's out of what most people can afford, but there are luxury models that come with 500 square feet of living space and a price tag of around $100,000. I'm Jason Campidonia.
And remember, you can find us online anytime. I'm at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormone hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. On today's show, I'm going to be talking about the new films, The Dark Tower, Kidnap, Lycan, and Cap's Crossing. I'm also going to be talking about some news, the trailer park, box office predictions, and the home cinema roundup featuring a look back at the Indiana Jones movies. But first, if you want to get in touch with me, you can email me at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can find me on the internet at fatguysatthemovies.com and facebook.com/fatguysatthemovies. And if you want to reach out to me on Twitter, I'm at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
First piece of news, one more celebrity death to hit and talk about a little bit. We've got Sam Shepard had passed away this week at the age of 73. It was from complications from ALS, which I didn't even know he had, actually. One of the things about Sam Shepard is if all you are is just a casual moviegoer, you'd recognize him from any of a dozens of roles he's been in, a lot of times playing like old coots out in the sticks, or he'll play like a police sergeant or a person in the military. But it's only when you actually go look him up, because I really was kind of ignorant of a lot of what Sam Shepard has done, because I've just seen him in the movies, and he's been in dozens of them. Of course, one of the biggest ones is he played Chuck Yeager in The Right Stuff, not Alan Shepard, which would have been an interesting Sam Shepard playing Alan Shepard. But he had a career that was very deep and very thick in plays and stage acting. He wrote something like 44 plays, which I had never seen. I mean, I'd never seen him perform any of these, or I wasn't very familiar with his theatrical work. And that's fascinating when you have an actor who you always just think is just some character actor who shows up in a lot of films, and he is really in the spotlight as a creator of stuff and a much more integral part to the developing story. And he wrote books and essays, and so he was actually a very accomplished. Talk about having a long, illustrious career. So rest in peace, Sam Shepard. Couple little pieces I want to talk about. This is a little bit old news, but I've railed against social justice warriors online before, mainly because I think that there's a lot of social issues that need to be raised and need to be people can take concern about. And especially if you're talking about movies, movies can pioneer and help push thought in certain directions, which is good. But the problem is, and this is what happens when you deal with, and it's a term that's becoming popular, woke Twitter. There are people who just are never happy. And there are people who, you know, no amount of female directors, no amount of Patty Jenkins making Wonder Woman and having been the highest grossing film of the year or the summer, no amount of that is going to make up for the fact that they're going to suddenly get mad at other movies. These are the kind of people that were like mad at Avengers 2 because they thought it was slut-shaming Black Widow. I mean, we get these stories all the time, and I always have to sit there and be like, really, people, just calm down a little bit. And the big thing that blindsided me this summer was these claims of sexism about the movie Planet of the Apes, or War for the Planet of the Apes. And people were complaining that they're were no female characters in it, no speaking parts, moreover, for characters in War for the Planet of the Apes. And the only female characters are like the little girl who's marginalized, or you maybe see a woman in the background. But and I saw somebody complaining because the little girl in there literally doesn't talk because she's been affected by, you know, the simian virus. And I had to sit there and say, really, let's also pump the brakes here. First of all, very few people had speaking roles in this movie. If you talk about main characters, most of them are apes in this movie. In terms of the human characters, you have Woody Harrelson, which is basically the only main human character. That's it. And everybody else is either one-liners or very, very small characters. The girl is in there, but she's integral to the story. And yeah, she just doesn't have much to say or do. And she's kind of just along for the ride. But you still have a female character there. And if you actually look at, like, the apes, first of all, the character of Maurice, which is a male ape, but it's played by a female in mocap. That's a main character. But also, Judy Greer plays the role of Caesar's wife. And I think, if I may not remember it exactly, but I believe she has lines, but they're sign language, which is most of the apes. Very few of the apes actually speak. It's mostly just like Caesar and Bad Ape are really the only ones that speak. Everybody else will use sign language. And I'm looking at this complaint about this movie and I'm like, well, that's just the story. Also, you have to look at it and say, let's look at it realistically. If this is a war, apes versus the humans, and at least from the ape side, because that's whose perspective you're coming at, and when you get in the human compound, there's only a handful of people who even have lines, let alone a character. But from the ape's perspective, in a tribal war setting, which is what this is, I don't care whether it's sexist or not, you're going to protect the women and children. Because for simple biology, and this is not me being a sexist, this is me just saying this is how stuff develops in nature, and there's a reason for it. Men are expendable. You can have a community and you have fewer men in there because in terms of procreating the species, you only need a couple of them to do their job. It takes just, you know, a couple minutes for a guy to be involved in that from a biological standpoint. It's many, many months for the female to be involved. That's why you don't send in these tribal species. You generally don't send the females off to war. And that's totally what happens here. And it's about the soldiers. And it's about so having female soldiers in that, ape soldiers or female characters fighting the war, that's absurd and doesn't work. Are we at that point where we need to say, okay, we have to ignore reality of what would actually happen in a situation like this in order to put enough bean counted female lines in the movie, even though nobody speaks and everyone uses sign language? This is the most absurd thing. They also complain about Dunkirk because and I wasn't a huge fan of Dunkirk, but that's the least of my worries is that there weren't enough women represented in the movie. I mean, people. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. That sound means it's time to roll into the trailer park. The first movie I want to hit is, oh dear God, Butu, a Madea Halloween.
What the hell wrong with you?
I hit the brakes. Look, 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 look. I got this. Y'all sit there and hush. Madea! Oh, hell no. Surprise!
I saw this movie, and I'm going to show you what they do.
I changed my mind.
The biggest complaint I have about this, because I've become numb to the fact that Madea is just awful, shouldn't this be called Boo to Another Madea Halloween? Because saying Boo to a Madea Halloween, wasn't the first movie a Madea Halloween? And so is this, I'm more worried about the grammar and the accuracy of the title of this one. This just looks terrible. It just resonates to me that Madea isn't funny. I thought she'd be funny on her own, but she's not funny. Oh, it's awful. It looks terrible. I may have to see it anyways. The next one I want to talk about is Death Wish. Opens on November 22nd.
911, what is your emergency?
These men are breaking into my house. I think they're here.
No.
I failed to protect them.
The men who did it are out there.
So there's nothing that you can do? Is that what you're saying?
If a man really wants to protect what's his,
I want to buy a gun.
He has to do it for himself.
Who are you?
Your last customer.
You're not a cop! Somebody has to do it!
This is, of course, Eli Roth's remake of the classic movie with Charles Bronson, and it stars Bruce Willis, which is a good choice. The problem is Eli Roth doesn't understand human emotion. He sort of, like, parodies it. And this doesn't look like it actually hits hard emotionally. This movie just kind of looks like it turns into a revelation of violence, whereas the original movie was there's a lot of heart. And maybe it's just because they throw in that Back in Black by AC/DC at the end and kind of make it a fun trailer. But Death Wish was never a fun movie. Death Wish was about a grieving man taking it out on society in the only way he knew how. Eli Roth doesn't instill a lot of confidence in me. Anyways, that is it for this segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about Kidnap and Lycan.
Adding Dynavite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a bottle of NomoFlea free.
NomoFlea flea spray kills fleas safely with no poison.
Because it's a polypeptide protein molecule made from
vegetable oil.
Try NomoFlea
free this week at Dynavite.com.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Dynavite for life.
D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E .com.
This report is brought to you by the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. Clinical trial recruitment is a challenging step in the development and FDA approval of new treatments. This is especially true for patients with Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, collectively known as inflammatory bowel disease. According to Michael Osso, president and CEO of the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation,
there are many good treatments available, but for some they stop working. For others, none of the current treatments work at all, and that's why it's critical that there be more treatment options available.
The Crohn's and Colitis Foundation is addressing this need with the launch of their dedicated clinical trials community. It has been created to educate and raise awareness of clinical trials among patients, caregivers, and healthcare providers, improve communication with patients and providers, and provide resources to identify and participate in clinical research. Osso adds,
the clinical trials community provides our patients with the opportunity to be citizen scientists, helping inform research that will affect the future of IBD.
To learn more, visit Crohn'sColitisFoundation.org.
Ready for a great day on the boat?
Oh, yeah. Hand me that cooler, will you?
Okay. That everything?
Food, sunscreen, tackle, bait, life jackets?
Nah, we won't need them.
Yeah, but I kind of promised my wife.
No, life jacket. That's a deal breaker, Robert.
Yeah, and I promised my daughter.
Come on, Daddy.
Hand me one of those life jackets, will you?
Yeah.
This message brought to you by the National Safe Boating Council and the women who nag you. Love you.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterton is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Tune in every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on Hunterton Chamber Radio for Chamber in Action with Chamber President Chris Phelan and Good Morning host Big C, where we'll keep you informed on all the issues, all the initiatives of the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce and our business community here in Hunterton County. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterton-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterton, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's jump right into the movie reviews. I'm going to start off with Kidnap, starring Halle Berry and nobody else. A single mother relentlessly pursues kidnappers who abduct her son from a public park.
They've got my son!
If you wait with me here, ma'am, we'll file a report right now.
That's what all these people did. They waited.
In a lot of ways, this film reminds me of the movie The Call, which Halle Berry made like 4 or 5 years ago, at where she played a 911 operator. And it's a very different role for her, because in that movie, she was the operator and she was on the phone. I think at one point she gets out of the 911 office, but the whole thing is she's trying to help a girl that's kidnapped. But you're dealing with a similar situation, only this one she's the mom trying to catch her son. But it is one of those movies that kind of like in the September, August time frame where it's not going to be a big movie, but it's one of those throwaway little thrillers that you can put a big name in and get it released in theaters. And I'll say about this one, I'm a parent. I got 3 boys, and I love my kids, and I take care of occasionally my cousins, who, if you follow me on social media, you've seen them. I got a cousin who's like 1.5 and one who's 3, and I take care of them. And I mean, I'm a big parent guy. So my buttons are easily pushed with a movie like this. And for how simple the story is, because it's just about this woman. It's a very cliched story. She's a single mom and raising the kid, and the dad's trying to get custody, and she's dealing with the stress of that, but also wanting to be a good mom at the same time. And then the mama bear comes out when they take her kid, and she goes after him. That gets me. That I can totally get behind a movie like that. And I, even though there are times when I would say I second guess a lot of her decisions, like as I'm watching this, I'd be like, I just crashed the car. I'd crash into this car that you're right at, because I'd rather crash the car and at least know where they are than to have them just disappear. But she doesn't do that, because the movie would have been over in about 15 minutes if she did that. And it does escalate at a certain point, but I mean, really, it's just her chasing these kidnappers down. And so it's simple. It's not a whole lot to it. It's like a Lifetime movie of the week with a bigger budget and maybe some R-rated content. But I didn't find it unentertaining. I'm watching it. I'm like, I'm into the movie. It runs a breezy. It's 82 minutes, I think, with credits at the end. So you get through it really quickly. It knows exactly what it's supposed to be. This movie is not trying to win Halle Berry another Academy Award, and neither was The Call a couple years ago. And I kind of give her credit for just saying, you know, I mean, she's in her 40s. I mean, she's sort of past her young, ingenue, sexy newcomer look. I mean, she's playing moms now, and I think she still looks great, and she realizes that she's not going to get the super young girl role, so she's going for the movie, and she's doing the action movie, and you know, she's done movies like this before. Hey, you know what? If we had a Halle Berry movie that came out, you know, every year or two about her trying to track down some criminal, I'd be all for that. I enjoyed the heck out of The Call. And I have to say I enjoyed this one simply because, it's a disposable movie, but it's really, and I know there are people who hate the term check your brain at the door kind of movie, but it is a check your brain at the door. You know, you're not looking for depth, and don't take one of my kids because I'll chase you down in my minivan as well, although I don't have a minivan anymore. Although I may have chased somebody once in a minivan. Oh, I can't. I've said too much. Anyways. But no, I have to say this was enjoyable. So, yeah, Kidnap kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk about Lycan. A much smaller release this week in limited release, and then I think it comes out on VOD in about a month. In 1986, a group of college students travel into the woods to research the legend of a werewolf.
Have you guys ever heard of the Werewolf of Talbot County? In 1848, a bunch of local residents were complaining about their sheep being killed. Whole flocks slaughtered. A couple farmers got together looking for a bounty hunter to kill, you know, whatever animal was responsible.
This is, a basic 20-somethings in the woods, doing stuff that 20-somethings in the woods would do, and then, of course, something bad happens. In a little bit, it reminds me, setup-wise, of Blair Witch. Not because they're doing found footage, although the guy does run around with a film camera for a while, because in 1986, they don't have the video camera yet. I mean, they did. I think they had video cameras then, but they were huge. So he has a Super 8 camera that he keeps running around shooting parts of it, but they don't do it as a found footage movie, which is a huge plus. And also, I wouldn't say they're all 20-something, because I think the woman, Antonia Ramirez, who you've seen her in films like, I mean, she was in Heroes, and she was in X-Men The Last Stand, and American Reunion, and Premium Rush. She's a very attractive Latina, but she's like 38. And she can certainly play in her 20s. She looks great. For 38, she looks... I mean, for 20, she looks great. But she plays a college student. And it does fall into a lot of similar tropes that you've seen. It falls into the, we've got the hot girl who's the sorority girl, and then she's got her pledge with her. And she likes the guy, but then the guy likes the Latina girl. And she's got a mysterious past. And it's a question of, did somebody do this or did somebody do that? But the story is about the Talbot County werewolf, which is actually based on a true story down in Georgia. And like I said, it runs through a lot of the kids in the woods kind of tropes. You know, there's Cabin in the Woods story. There's campground stories like Jason and Friday the 13th. And then there are kids camping in the woods kind of story. And that's what it falls into. It gets a bit cliche, of course, because that's the kind of movie it is. But I give it some points for being, you know, having the horror movie elements to it. And it always bothers me when you have a movie that's supposed to be an edgy horror movie, and there's no nudity, and there's no blood, and it's, they don't have swear. You know, it's like, that's kind of part of the staple of these slasher movies, especially if it takes place in 1986. At the very least, you should give a nod to the movies that were being made in 1986. And this movie does start off with a sex scene, and there is some skin, and there is a lot of blood in there. So I think that on that level it works. I also give it credit for trying, maybe not completely successfully, but it does do some interesting things in terms of explaining how things work out. It's not just super straightforward, you know, what's telegraphed to you, although you can probably guess what goes on. So it's a quick movie. It's less than 90 minutes. And for a disposable or a horror movie that's not known to be out there, it's not terribly edgy. It's not like one of these that's going to redefine horror movies. It is trying to just kind of spin a bit off of sort of like the classic slasher movies with a different angle. But, for what it is, for 90 minutes of entertainment, it works for what it is. So I'll say that Lycan kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
That's it for the segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about Stephen King's The Dark Tower.
When it comes to new window coverings, everybody has a budget. And Budget Blinds is the one place that understands you and your budget perfectly. Budget Blinds provides more custom window coverings than anyone in North America because we think that everyone, at every budget, deserves beautiful style, expert service, our no-surprises pricing, and our no-questions-asked warranty. Right now, during our 25th anniversary celebration, you'll get an even better value during the biggest sale of the year. Special upgrades like invisible tilt bar on shutters, free smart fit, or a cordless option on honeycomb shades for a clean, uncluttered contemporary look. Book your free in-home consultation now. Call 855-BUDGETBLINDS or go online to budgetblinds.com. Forget do-it-yourself. Call 855-BUDGETBLINDS and get style and service that fit your budget. Call 855-BUDGETBLINDS now.
Offer good on selected products at participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Some restrictions may apply. Ask for details.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
How often do you see France and China, Russia, the United States? I can go on. How often do you see them voting unanimously on any issue?
Defense Secretary James Mattis talking to reporters about North Korea and the sanctions placed on it by the United Nations. Mattis was adamant that he's backing President Trump in everything the president wants to do regarding North Korea. And the president had more words yesterday for Kim Jong-un.
He has disrespected our country greatly. He has said things that are horrific. And with me, he's not getting away with it.
A high-ranking leader of an al-Qaeda-affiliated terrorist group is dead after two U.S. drone strikes were executed in southern Somalia. The attack was aimed at al-Shabaab fighters in the region. The strikes are part of a new authorization given to the Pentagon by the Trump administration. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, my name is Kip Herridge, and I'm the founder of the Vertical Research Advisory, or VRA. I've been in the investment business for 32 years, managing money for the Wall Street elite and raising hundreds of millions for their companies. In 2003, I created the VRA, my investment and economic newsletter that's been crushing the market for 14 years. We're not a brokerage firm. I tell you what stocks to buy using my proprietary VRA investing system, and then I tell you exactly when to sell and take profits. My system tracks the smart money using a combination of fundamental and technical analysis and only target stocks that have the ability to rise by 50% or more. For the first time, we're offering a free two-week membership to the VRA. You get my daily market commentary and special reports, including my number one recommendation, which is already up 300% this year. To receive your two free weeks, go to VRAinsider.com. That's VRAinsider.com. If you act now, you also get my new book, Crash Proof Prosperity, Becoming Wealthy in the Age of Trump. I look forward to helping you crush Mr. Market at VRAinsider.com.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk a little bit about The Dark Tower. Before I talk about the movie, I want to talk a little bit about the series in the book form. This is important because, really, to kind of understand my review and kind of how I approached it, you have to understand what you're not getting. The Dark Tower actually started out many years ago in Stephen King's writing career. He wrote a series of short stories back in the late 70s and early 80s. Then he compiled them together, and they were about 225 pages, published them in book form, in a very limited run for a book called The Gunslinger. And that was published in 1982. I think they did a 10,000 print run, which is not a bad size run for just an average book, but for a Stephen King book, especially in 1982. That was extremely small, very, very small. And I think some of them from that run got damaged. And what had happened was since it got published, they started putting it in King's bibliography in the beginning of his books, like in 1983, you know, in Pet Sematary. You know, Stephen King had this book, The Gunslinger, and nobody knew where to get it. And so people started calling all, you know, his offices and the publisher's office asking for a copy of the book. Well, they decided to do another print run, so they did a second printing in 1984, and it was another 10,000 run, partly to replenish the books that were damaged, but also just to have it out there again. And I actually ended up with a copy of that. I actually have a copy of that second edition, and it's worth like $300 now. I got it at a library book sale for $1 back in the late 80s. But I had gotten a copy of it, and I read it sometime in the mid-80s. I believe I read it before he released it as a trade paperback. And he went back in 1988, and he revised it and then released his trade paperback, so it made a little more cohesive sense. And then he started writing the sequels, and he wrote the sequels through the 90s and into the 2000s. And I read the second one as well, which is The Drawing of the Three, and then The Wastelands, and then Wizard and Glass I read in, I think it was the early 2000s or right at the end of the 1990s. And that's where it lost me. Personally, I thought it was an interesting universe to exist in, but like Wizard and Glass, just it says, oh, there's a story of Roland, but we're not going to tell that story. We're going to tell this whole other story. You bought the book about wanting to see what goes on with him? Yeah, that's not what this is about. We're going to fill in all these gaps and give all this history. And I'm just like, well, it was well written. It wasn't the story I wanted. And I finally just said, I'm done. I mean, it's spinning out of control at that point. And even if you look at the length of the books, his first book was 220 pages. By the time he's in his last book, it's 850 or something, which is very typical Stephen King. He finds characters and does side stories, and it grows and it grows and it grows. So he finally wraps up the stories in 2004, but then there's other things. There's comic books made, and there's a prologue he does, and there's another book that's sort of starting a new story that he did in 2012. There's a lot of Dark Tower stuff out there, and it's a full series, sort of like how the Game of Thrones is a series. And there was always been talk, they've been wanting to do a movie for years, but they couldn't figure out a way to do it. And he just made the story bigger and more complex as they're trying to figure out how to make a movie out of this. And they talked about doing a miniseries. And then at one point they're going to make a TV series. And I think in sort of like a post Game of Thrones world, this could work, but it may not, it just may not click. Because when it comes to books, you can have a lot of fans of books, but even if every single fan of a book goes and sees the movie can bomb. You have to have a crossover to the mainstream for it to be a movie. Now, I think they could have done it in a Game of Thrones kind of style, now that Game of Thrones has become huge. But that's, of course, getting that thing developed, and then it's still a huge risk. And they were going to do three movies and a TV series. There was a huge amount that was going to come from this, but then they settled on making this 97-minute movie. And let's talk a little bit about that. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's continue talking about The Dark Tower and play a little trailer for the movie that's out right now. Idris Elba plays Roland the Gunslinger, who partners with a boy from New York City to defeat the Man in Black, a sorcerer who wants to tear down the Dark Tower, which keeps untold evil out of this world.
Why does the Man in Black want to destroy the tower?
The tower protects both our worlds. If it falls, hell will be unleashed.
He's like the devil, isn't he?
No, he's worse.
You can't stop what's coming. Death always wins.
Your world might be gone, but mine isn't. If you let that tower fall, billions of people die.
Now, this is a standalone movie. King has come out and said that this is not meant to be an adaptation of the entire series at all, because it's an hour and a half and it's a huge book series. And it's more meant to be kind of like a sort of a sequel, because it deals with stuff that apparently happens at the end of the Dark Tower's last book, book 7. But you don't even really need to know that. If you've never read the series and you've never read the books, you're actually better off to see the movie. Because I think if you are a fan of the series and you've read all 7 books and you've read the appendices and you've read the beginning and the prologue and you've read the spin-off sequel that comes after The Dark Tower in 2012, and if you read the comic books and if you listen to the audiobooks, you're going to be disappointed with this film. Because you will never get a 97-minute movie that will deal with the complexity and depth and density of these books. And I think what some of the fans forget is if you go back and you read The Gunslinger, the very first one, it's not a great book. I remember I read it and I thought, eh, it's okay. And some of the stuff he used in that, he spun off and sort of that was his playground before he did The Talisman with Peter Straub in the 80s. But The Gunslinger feels incomplete and disjointed. So I think just making a movie of The Gunslinger would have been a mistake as well, because it just is starting these ideas. But then they get developed over the course of 7 books. There's no way you could have crammed all that in there. And yes, you could have done the TV series, but like I said, they make you a movie. So they kind of have a simplified, scaled-down version of the film. But like I said, if you know the books really well, you're not going to get what you want in this movie. With that said, I didn't think it was completely unenjoyable. I found it interesting. There's some great Easter eggs in the beginning. There's like references to Cujo and Christine and It with a Pennywise reference and The Shining. And there's a lot of little nuanced nods to Stephen King material over the years. And the acting actually does a great job casting. Now, Roland the Gunslinger was originally based on Clint Eastwood from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. He kind of was a very iconic Clint Eastwood. And even you go to the book's covers and you look at him, I mean, he looks like Clint Eastwood on the cover of the books. Well, Clint Eastwood was a little old, and so they kind of went a little out of the box, and they got Idris Elba to play the Gunslinger. And actually, I think Idris Elba does a great job. I think he's very different than your traditional iconic spaghetti Western character that Clint Eastwood represents. But I thought he did a fine job as the Gunslinger. I like Idris Elba, especially in these stoic action roles. And Matthew McConaughey as the Man in Black, who is, of course, Ryan O'Flagg, and he's been in other books and other movies. He was in The Stand. He's the bad guy in The Stand. So he shows up in a lot of Stephen King's books. And, Matthew McConaughey is fantastic in that role. Way better than, like, who was the guy, Jamie Sheridan or something, who played him in The Stand back in the 90s when they made it. He was terrible. But Matthew McConaughey's great as the Man in Black. So they got some great casting in it. And the kid who plays Jake, he's fine, too. It's a relatively simple story, and it deals with just the very surface level of the story. But for what it is, for just this 97-minute movie, it's interesting enough. It bogs down a bit in sort of like the post-apocalyptic world, because this world of Midland has moved on. And so you end up with another Divergent, Hunger Games, Maze Runner, people sort of living in a weird little agrarian society that should have been fleshed out a little bit more. But ultimately, I have to say I enjoyed it for what it was. It just bogs down a bit in the middle, and it's not for the fans. I will tell you that right now. But I'm still going to have to say that The Dark Tower kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
That's it for this segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to review the independent film Caps Crossing, do the weekly box office, and the home cinema roundup featuring Indiana Jones.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then we suggest you call Page Publishing at 1-800-658-8202 immediately. That's 1-800-658-8202. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we will give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or biography, and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 1-800-658-8202 now for your free author submission kit. That's 1-800-658-8202. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 1-800-658-8202. That's 1-800-658-8202. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with a simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 1-800-658-8202 for your free author submission kit.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
and I'm Pat Gregory, handyman extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Stephen Patrick. Home sweet home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's complete the movie review cycle with the independent film Caps Crossing. A group of geocachers venture into the woods only to be stalked by a deranged killer.
I'm surprised somebody reserved this campground. Nobody really camps here anymore.
Why is that?
A couple of hikers were found dead out here. The place got a bad reputation.
Somebody was watching me as I was getting undressed.
Your boyfriend's been gone a long time.
He gets that way when he's into something.
This is my forest.
Now, this is a very independent movie. Now, it was released officially, I think it got a theatrical run in New York, LA, back in June 8th or June 10th. And you can get this on demand. It's on Amazon and Google Play. You know, it's shot in like 8 days, very limited budget. The story, it's funny because it's very similar to Lycan, and I find myself dealing with both movies, and they have very similar tropes to them. This one doesn't have a werewolf in it. It's a slasher movie. It's not as generous with the skin as Lycan is. It's somewhat basic, and it earns my respect for the fact that it was done in such a limited time. It doesn't feel like it was a rushed production. It doesn't look like they have like scenes that were had to be abandoned. One of the problems at the opening, though, it has like, you know, a lot of times in a horror movie, you'll have like the one person coming in and they stumble onto the killer and they get killed. They have like two of those. So they should have picked one or the other, because by the time you get to the second one, it's not a big surprise. And it reminds you a little bit of, I said this about the movie Insidious 2. Where I don't think it quite worked, but what James Wan did is he said, I want to do a horror story and tell a scary bit of the movie in total brightness. And that was a challenge, and it was an interesting challenge, because mostly horror movies are dark and creepy and shadowy. It didn't work in Insidious 2, but I respect the heck out of him trying. And in this movie, the director, I think their idea was, hey, let's do a movie about a slasher, but we're not going to bother putting him in a mask. And I respect that decision. I don't think it quite worked. There's something that you do kind of need a mask. Leatherface is much scarier with his mask on. You know, Jason, even though he has a monster mask underneath it, he's much scarier, the iconic hockey mask or the Michael Myers look. And that's one of the things with the original Halloween, when he finally takes off the mask, he just looks kind of normal. And that's equally terrifying, but if you just had a normal guy running around killing everybody, you lose the imagery. And so I think that it does suffer a bit from that, and the dialogue's not great, because you're trying to extend these characters that are really just, you know, knife fodder for the killer, and I never really got behind any of the characters. They serve these archetypes, but they kind of forgot to put in the final girl archetype. You know, you may hate some of the other characters, but they get killed off. But you always want that final girl, You want to like the final girl, and I think they're missing that in that movie. So still, Caps Crossing, you know, if you want fiercely independent, you want that grassroots 8-day shoot movie, you can check that out on Amazon and Google Play. My official review, however, I am going to have to say it does kind of suck, even though it does earn my respect for some of the things it was trying, and I think that there's greater things to come from the people who worked on this.
It kind of sucks.
Wait a second. I don't like the sound of that.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk a little bit about the box office really quick. I said last week that it was going to be a $25 million horse race for the Emoji Movie, Dunkirk, and Atomic Blonde. Pretty close on that. Dunkirk ended up winning with over $26 million. The Emoji Movie came in with just about $2 million less, just under $25 million. And then Girls Trip was $20 million, and then Atomic Blonde squeaked in under that. That's still a good number for Atomic Blonde, especially considering it was up against a lot in the marketplace. Dunkirk winning the weekend was, if you actually look at these numbers, I bet you the Emoji Movie, what I said last week, is it sold more tickets, but it had a lot more kids tickets, and Dunkirk has premium pricing. So I wouldn't be surprised if, even though Dunkirk made more money, it sold significantly fewer tickets and was significantly less popular this week around. But everyone wanted to report that the Emoji Movie didn't make number one. This week, I think it's going to be another horse race. I think it's going to be a $20 million horse race between The Dark Tower and Kidnapped. But I think The Dark Tower, it's not getting great buzz. It's getting creamed in the reviews. And I think that's because a lot of critics have read the books. Kidnapped, I'm seeing everywhere from like $8 to $13 million as predicted on that one. I wouldn't be surprised if that one does a little better. I wouldn't be surprised if that one's nipping at the heels of $20 million just because it's a disposable movie and I think people like Halle Berry. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. That sound means it's time to roll into the home cinema roundup. This week, I'm going to reach way back into the vaults and talk about the Indiana Jones series, which I recently watched this past weekend with my son, who's 9. He had never seen them, and I made him watch all 4 movies, and he loved them. He had a lot of fun, but it gave me a chance to look at them with a new perspective. So I'm going to be talking a little bit about Indiana Jones.
Jones!
Always knew someday you'd come walking back through my door.
I'm going after that truck.
Oh,
I don't know. I'm making this up as I go.
You know how to fly, don't you?
No. Do you?
Of course, everybody agrees Raiders is a great movie. And the one thing I like the most about Raiders is the pacing. The action's great, and the setup's great, and the story's great, but the pacing is really impressive because that movie gets a lot of information and exposition out in these bursts that of these scenes that take 2 minutes, then they go right to an action sequence. A great example is when they go to Cairo and they meet at Saleh's house and he's talking about the map room and Belloc is there with all the people he's hiring in Egypt to do the dig. And then they go out into the marketplace and boom, you're in an action sequence. They don't waste any time. Spielberg is probably one of his most tightly plotted movies, and it's still a fantastic movie. It holds up, and I think I would argue that it's the best one. I don't think anybody's disagreeing on that one. Now, the third one, let's skip to the third one really quick. The third one's a lot of fun, but the third one still is silly and goofy and absurd, and a lot of people complained about the second one being a little bit too silly. This one also has some silliness as well, but it's fun. I think by the third movie, they're just enjoying the ride. And by putting in Sean Connery, and you got to remember back then, I mean, he'd only played James Bond in Never Say Never Again like 6 years before that. So he had settled into the I'm an older guy now role. But still, there's some silly moments. The tapestry discussion is goofy. The no ticket thing. There's a lot more deliberate humor in the sequels than you have in the original movie. But still, the third one's a lot of fun. But see, people look at the second one, and the second one, I was like 12 when it came out. So I really liked it because I love Short Round and I identified with him. And it was a circus ride. It was an amusement park ride. And of course, everyone hates on 4. Here's the thing, though. I think people are unfairly critical of Four. And the reason for that is they're looking at the fourth movie as somebody 20 years after the last movie was made. And you can't do that. I will say the pacing is a bit different in part four.
Hello, and like, welcome to two and three Awaken to Your Purpose. But before we get into Awaken to Your Purpose, I'm required to do some, to give you the weather and a few other things. So just hang in there for a second. This is going to be a very interesting show today. I have a fascinating young lady on who's a therapist. And I always like talking to therapists because I learn something.
You don't like Shia LaBeouf?
On that note, let's just get started. And let me get started with the...
Oh, you think nuking the fridge? They perish. Shoot out of an airplane in a life raft in the second movie. It's absurd. There's no way to make that any less.
Show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hundred Chamber Radio, entitled "Awaken to Your Purpose." How many people?